Friday, February 27th, Ember Friday. The lesson from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 20 through 28. Thus saith the Lord God, the soul that sinneth, the same shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, and the father shall not bear the iniquity of the son. The justice of the just shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked do penance for all his sins which he hath committed, and keep all my commandments, and do judgment and justice, living he shall live, and shall not die. I will not remember all his iniquities that he hath done. In his justice which he hath wrought, he shall live. Is it my will that a sinner should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should be converted from his ways and live? But if the just man turn himself away from his justice, and do iniquity according to all the abominations which the wicked man useth to work, shall he live? All his justices which he hath done shall not be remembered. In the prevarication by which he hath prevaricated, and in his sin which he hath committed, in them he shall die. And you have said, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear ye, therefore, O house of Israel, is it my way that is not right, and are not rather your ways perverse? For when the just turneth himself away from his justice, and committeth iniquity, he shall die therein. In the injustice that he hath wrought, he shall die. And when the wicked turneth himself away from his wickedness which he hath wrought, and doeth judgment and justice, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away himself from all his iniquities which he hath wrought, he shall surely live, and not die, saith the Lord Almighty. Haydock Commentary. God has always acted in this way, though the Jews seem not to have thought so. Temporal afflictions are the source of merit, and generally fall to the share of the saints, particularly under the new law. The end determines all. If a person be found just or unjust at his departure, he will be treated accordingly. God sincerely wishes that the sinner should be converted. If he refuse grace, it is only in punishment of former transgressions. So says St. Augustine. He wills antecedently their salvation, though he has a consequent will to punish them, because they themselves will not to be saved. God's absolute will is always fulfilled, not that which is conditional. So says St. John Damascene. He does enough by offering his graces and the death of Christ to show that his will is sincere, though by a consequent will his justice punishes the impenitent. Thus a virtuous judge would have all to observe the laws and live, but finding some transgress, so as to become pernicious, he punishes them. Mortal sin destroys the life of grace. The Gospel from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. At that time there was a festival day of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem a pond called Probatica, which in Hebrew is named Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick, of blind, of lame, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And an angel of the Lord descended at certain times into the pond, and the water was moved. And he that went down first into the pond after the motion of the water was made whole of whatsoever infirmity he lay under. And there was a certain man there that had been 38 years under his infirmity. Him, when Jesus had seen lying, and knew that he had been now a long time, he saith to him, Wilt thou be made whole? The infirm man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pond. For whilst I am coming, another goeth down before me. Jesus saith to him, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and walked. And it was the Sabbath that day. The Jews therefore said to him that was healed, It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for thee to take up thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, he said to me, Take up thy bed, and walk. They asked him therefore, Who is that man who said to thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? But he who was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus went aside from the multitude standing in the place. Afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith to him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest some worse thing happen to thee. The man went his way and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Haydock Commentary. Observe here the malice of the Pharisees. They were more hurt at the cure of the sick man than at the violation of the Sabbath. Therefore they ask not, Who healed you? But, as if they wish to keep that out of sight, Who told you to take up your bed? So says St. John Chrysostom. But he answers, The man who healed me. Why should I not receive orders from him from whom I have received my health? So says St. Augustine. By the festival is generally understood the Passover, and this was the second from the commencement of Christ's ministry. The word probaton signifies a sheep. This pond is therefore called probatica because there the priests wash the sacrifices. So says St. Augustine. In imitation of this sick man, if we wish to return God thanks for his favors or to enjoy the pleasure of his company, we must fly the crowd of vain and wicked thoughts that continually tempt us. We must avoid the company of the wicked and fly to the sanctuary that we may render our hearts worthy temples of that God who vouchsafes to visit us. So says Alcuin. The effect produced by the pool could not be natural, as only one was cured at each motion of the waters. The longing expectation of the suffering patients is a mark of the persevering prayer with which poor sinners should solicit the cure of their spiritual infirmities. Christ asks him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" No doubt, but the poor man desired nothing more. Christ put this question to raise him to a lively faith and hope. The man found himself healed immediately and did as he was ordered, though it was the Sabbath day. The Jews blamed him for it. He told them that he who had healed him bade him do so. And who it was he knew not, till Jesus, finding him in the temple, said to him, "Sin no more, lest some worse thing happen to thee." Upon this he went, not out of malice, but out of gratitude, and told the Jews that Jesus had cured him. Go and sin no more. By these words our Savior shows that his infirmity was sent in punishment of his sins. When our souls are covered with the leprosy of sin, we are frequently insensible of our misfortune. Whereas, as soon as the body is attacked with sickness, though ever so inconsiderable, we are not to be pacified till the physician has been consulted and some remedy applied to remove, if possible, the complaint. Men are astonished that God, for so short a pleasure as is found in the perpetration of sin, should have decreed an everlasting punishment in the fire of hell. For, they say, shall I be forever punished for having indulged a sinful thought for a single moment? But their astonishment will cease when they consider that punishments are not inflicted on sins in proportion to the length of time that was spent in their perpetration, but that they are proportioned to their malice. Now the malice of sin being infinite, aimed against the infinite majesty and infinite sanctity of God, the punishment, to be any ways commensurate, must be infinite. If therefore the sinner dies charged with the infinite debt of mortal sin unrepented of, as the time of mercy and repentance finishes with the present life, the sin must necessarily remain. God's hatred for sin must necessarily remain, and the punishment justly inflicted must necessarily continue. The words, "Go and sin no more," are applicable to every penitent sinner when he returns from the tribunal of confession, and show how careful he ought to be not to relapse into his former sins. For he who after pardon sins again is unworthy of mercy, who being cured makes himself sick again, and who being cleansed defiles himself again. So says St. John Chrysostom.